And so, as you all see, we're kicking off our new series, Untamed. Say it with me, Untamed. And Pastor Angel gave us a little teaser on Wednesday for Wake Up Wednesday when he talked about how important it is for us to recognize that spiritual guidance plus spiritual execution equals spiritual adventure. Now, this Untamed series comes from a book that we're starting to read, and I want to encourage you to read along with us, called Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson. And so we're not strangers to Mark Batterson's work. A few years ago in 2019, we read his book, The Circle Maker. How many of y'all remember reading Circle Maker, going through the Circle Maker series? And it was based off of his book, Circle Maker, Praying Circles Around Your Biggest Dreams and Greatest Plans. Now, you may also remember that in 2019, the theme for the year was trust the process. Woo! We've had to trust the process for the last 3 years. We can run that hoodie back, because trust the process is happening over and over and over again. But you see, I remember preaching a sermon during that Circle Maker series, and the title of that sermon was Limitless. And on that particular day in May 2019, I preached about God's limitless power and his ability to do the impossible. And so throughout that series, some of you may remember that we prayed. We talked about acquiring a building on 285 that will be a hub in the city. And we specifically prayed for it to happen in 2020. We prayed about it being a space to have a school. We prayed about being able to house single moms. We prayed about all the unknowns of financing. We prayed about meaningful partnerships in the community. It is something we prayed about. A lot of stuff, didn't we? That's crazy. Man. And you see, we prayed about a specific building in a specific place on a specific exit in 285, and that didn't happen. And when that didn't happen, how did we respond? Do we say, God, I can't believe you didn't answer our prayers? No, we prayed, we trusted, and we worked. You see, in that particular sermon, I also gave everybody a keychain, and that keychain had three beads on it. It was three orange beads, and I said, I want you to pray audacious prayers, prayers that don't make sense, prayers that seem impossible. And I will let y'all in on a little secret. One of my prayers was that my little brother would get baptized. And you know what happened in 2020? My little brother got baptized. Like, ain't it crazy what happens when you pray and God works and you trust that God is going to move? I mean, you know, in 2020, not only did it happen for me that my brother got baptized, but where's this building? Off 285. What have we been doing? Building meaningful partnerships in the community. What has this become? A hub in the city? Hey, we actually have an address that says Atlanta. And so when we talk about praying and praying to a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we ask, we have to sit back and say, God, am I stuck on you answering my prayers the way I want you to answer them, or am I open to seeing you move? You see, we worried about financing, we worried about how things would go, and God worked it out. God opened doors. And so my question for some of us is, are we okay with God saying no in the way that we see our lives play out, even if our prayers get answered? You see, God said no to the building we were praying about because God knew that there was something more consistent with the need right around the corner from the neighborhood we've been investing in. Like, when I look back, I think about that building was on Washington Road. We don't have no relationships in Washington Road. We're not in any schools on Washington Road. We were just praying because a building showed up. And yet God said, you know what? I'm going to put you down the street from the relationships you've been building. I'm going to put you in the neighborhood that people are already looking for something new. And I'm going to do something that you wouldn't believe. But you see, I think there are times when we got to look back and say, God, you know what? Thank you. Thank you for not answering the prayer the way I wanted you to answer it, because clearly I don't know nothing. You know, you can look back. I mean, some of us could probably look back and say, God, I thank you that you took that man, because I thought that's what I wanted. But, woo, God, I thank you that I was praying about that woman, but you know what? You gave me something extra. With a little seasoning on it. Ain't that right, Misty? A little parsley in there, you know what I'm saying? Now, y'all, I ain't even in my sermon bag yet, but I want to let y'all know something. There are a few realities that we must face if we are to be untamed. Y'all ready for it? Three realities. One, our first reality is this. As Christians in America, we've exchanged the God of the scriptures for the God of convenience. The God of convenience says, how long is your service? I got brunch to get to. It's Atlanta. The God of convenience says, I don't know if I want to engage because that doesn't fit into my schedule. The God of convenience says, I don't really know if I like the vibe. I don't like their music. The God of convenience says, I want things my way. But yet, the God of the scripture says, follow me. Follow my spirit. Be moved by my spirit. But reality number two is this. God is waiting to empower us to be wild, but we'd rather be domesticated and sophisticated. We'd rather sit up nice and sedity and make sure that the pastor knows big words. And yet God is like, I want you to be wild. I want you to be out on the edge. I want you to be on an adventure that says, I trust God and God's spirit so much that whatever happens, I'm open to it. Now, the third reality is this. We want God to serve our purposes rather than serving God's purposes. God, I'm going to pray because I need you to do this for me. God is like, but I need you to do this. Nah, I ain't trying to do all that, God. I just need you to answer my prayers. And so in facing all of three realities, we got to find ourselves at a crossroads. We can either choose the path of least resistance. We can say, you know what, God, I hear you, but I'm going to go read a little scripture, get my YouVersion verse of the day. I'm going to go to a little church and sing a little song and do this people thing. Or we can choose to tap into what God is trying to unleash in every one of us to turn the world upside down. Because in all reality, I believe that being disciples of Jesus should really mean we bout that action. Now, I need everybody to say it real quick, bout that action. And that's the title of my message today, bout that action. Now, for those of us that are a little more sophisticated or not aware of urban colloquialisms, I'll break it down like this. Somebody that's bout that action, you go on an adventure with them. Somebody's about that action. If they say they're going to the trunk, you might not want to be there when they get back. When somebody says they about that action, just make sure you're on their good side. You see, for somebody who's about that action, they ain't never scared. Somebody that's about that action is always on the move, and because of that, they can't be found in one place too long. So as I was reading this chapter about yawning angels in Mark Batterson's book, Wild Goose Chase, I thought about it, like, where can I find somebody in scripture who's about that action? Now, you know, I could go to the Hebrew Bible and find David. I think David would qualify somebody else about that action. You know, I might go and see, I mean, Jesus. I think Jesus qualifies as somebody who's about that action. But I decided to go, I mean, even Peter, like Peter, that was somebody that we could say was about that action. Simon the Zealot. Y'all, did y'all know Jesus had somebody following him that would shank people? Y'all got to read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Simon the Zealot was one of Jesus' disciples, and he kept a little dagger in his cloak. Y'all got, like, Jesus, who you got following you? But you know, I decided to go to the book of Acts because as we talk about Acts, you know, some of us see Acts as the Acts of the Apostles, but really the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so if we're talking about what it means to follow Jesus, what it means to lean into the power of the Holy Spirit, to be untamed and tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit, I felt it was only right to go to Acts. And so let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 19 through 31, Acts chapter 9, if you got your Bibles. It's a little lengthy, so I didn't put it on the slides, but Acts chapter 9 and verse 19, if you're there, say there. If you need a moment, say hold up. Oh, man, y'all all need a moment. All right, we're going to go there. It's cool. Y'all got used to it being on the screen, didn't you? Yep, got spoiled. Sophisticated and domesticated. Look at you. Acts 9, verse 19, and we're going to start in 3, 2, 1. And it says this, and after taking some food, he, it's talking about Saul, regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is, this Jesus is the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and said, is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem among those who invoke this name? Ain't this the guy that was killing folks that say Jesus? Now he's saying Jesus? You see, all who heard him were amazed and said this. And in verse 22, Saul became increasingly more powerful and confused the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Messiah. After some time had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night so they might kill him. But his disciples took him by night, led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he came to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they didn't believe he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, and described for them how on the road he had seen the Lord who had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had spoken boldly in the name of Jesus. Barnabas stood up for him. And so in verse 28 it says, so he went in and out among them in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He spoke and argued with the Hellenists, but they were attempting to kill him. When the believers learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea, sent him off to Tarsus. Meanwhile, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and was built up, living in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It increased in numbers. About that action. Now, for those of you who may have been reading your Bible for a little time, you know that this man, Saul, we come to know him as Paul. Saul is a heavy hitter in our Judeo-Christian heritage and a man who we really have seen write. We attribute about half of our New Testament to his work. But in this particular passage, we see that right after he's been struck blind and called by Jesus, he's been baptized by Ananias, he's had a little snack. He's been transformed by the Holy Spirit. He's on a new mission, and that mission is to preach about Jesus. And so why is that a big deal? Why does this even matter? Well, Saul was a Benjamite. Benjamites, we might know another Saul who was a Benjamite, the first king of Israel. He was a Benjamite, and so this Saul, who we now know as Paul, was somebody who had a heritage. He had a family line. And so he was attached to that. He was a Pharisee, meaning he was a teacher of the law who valued doing everything by the book. He appreciated making sure that every jot and tittle from the Torah was taken care of. And so when we see him, we see somebody that was zealous, on the hunt, protecting the cause of Judaism. And now he's become a Jewish Jesus follower. That was scandalous. Why would you switch sides like that? Why would you? Man, you approved of killing Stephen. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to let you in the house? Oh, you a disciple now. Okay. All right. Well, you see, a man who was about that action, and now he's on fire for Jesus. He's got all this zeal that he had before, but he switched teams. You know, let me pause for a moment to make it real for you. If you just started following Jesus anytime recently or in the last few years, you may have recognized that when you switch teams, you stopped being for the world, you started being for Jesus. There were some people who got a little disappointed. There were some people that were upset with you, like, what you mean you ain't going to get drunk with us tonight? What you mean I can't come over at 3 o'clock a.m.? It's okay. Everybody didn't get those texts. It's cool. But what you mean we not getting high no more? You done switched up on me? You too good for me now? You a super Christian Bible thumper? But see, going back to the text, I love how Saul went from getting baptized, taking a nap, and then going out to be untamed for Jesus. You know, let's bring it into our context. Imagine one day you're persecuting the church. Imagine one day you're the one talking about how weird those disciples are. Y'all get together to do what? To pray. For what? It's not Sunday. What you mean? Why would you do that? But all of a sudden, you inviting people, small group, talking about God, Jesus all the time. People start treating you differently. And that's exactly what happened to our man Saul. At once, he began to proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God in the synagogues. You picked the wrong place to go. Hey, I know we talk about God being the one and only God, but there's a Jesus that's also God. That's blasphemy. You know, we don't really understand much about the Judeo-Christian context or the tension that exists for Jews, but the Jewish people had come from a history of needing to be monolatrists. That meant they needed to worship one God. It wasn't that they didn't believe there were other gods historically, but there's a reason God said, you shall worship no other God before me. Because in their context, in the Near East, there were multiple gods. And gods were regional. And so wherever they went, I mean, this God is for this space. And this God is for this space. And so throughout their history, they had to rewind and say, wait, there's only one God? There's only one God? There's only one God. Wait, Jesus is God? Nope, can't accept that. We don't understand how difficult it was for them to embrace this new teaching that Paul was saying. But he went to the synagogues. You see, if there was anyone who needed to learn some new things in the finer points of doctrine, it would have been Saul. Because he was zealous and perfect. He said, according to the law, I was perfect. And so I got to learn some new things. I got to be willing to shift from how I view my walk with God to recognize that there may be some things that need to be changed. I don't know who needs to hear that. I'm just letting you know. But instead he said, you know what? I'm ready to stir things up. I'm ready to go on an active adventure. And that's my first point today, active adventure. You see, in the first part of Batterson's book, he makes this statement. He says, we reduce the will of God to what can be contained or fathomed. God, I know you can do anything that I believe. God, I know you can do anything that I can understand in my mind. But the problem with that is this. If you can't explain how the stars suspend in the sky, and even though we got some brilliant individuals in the room, you cannot explain to me a nebula. You cannot explain to me how stars explode and are exploding and been exploding for thousands of years, and we're just now seeing them. And so if you can't explain that, maybe you can't explain how God moves. You see, I believe the early disciples in our passage did the same thing many of us do. I know we encountered Jesus. We encountered Jesus. Something powerful was at work in us, but I don't know about him. I don't know about that person over there. I mean, I know I had some dirt, but I don't know about what that person, the Holy Spirit don't work on them. I can't imagine the Holy Spirit working on them. Y'all want to know what don't make sense? You sitting in here. I don't know all of y'all, but I know enough of y'all heathens. I'm just keeping it real, y'all. Y'all know that we haven't always had it all buttoned up and nice and put together. And somehow there's a point where we're following Jesus and we start saying, not him. Y'all sure that Saul guy who was murdering folks can be a disciple? You know, that persecutor, that zealous Pharisee, I'm scared of what he's going to do. I mean, that's what we saw in verse 26. They were like, hey, you sure? Ain't this the same cat that was murdering folks? You see, I'm grateful for Barnabas because Barnabas decided to stand up for Saul and say, hey, y'all got to chill out. It's evident the Holy Spirit is working in his life. And sometimes we have a responsibility. We need to be able to talk to our fellow disciples and say, hey, I know that may not necessarily be the way you might have done things, but when did you become the sin police? When did you become the sin sergeant? Like, when did that happen? Who gave you that badge? When it's something that you can argue about. Now, I'm not saying stuff that we see in scriptures like clearly that might be sin. I'm talking about stuff that over the years we may have recognized as that's a disputable matter. But I'm going to move on. You know, y'all looking at me crazy. You see? You see, what I love about Saul was this brother was on a mission, and he was on a mission to make sure it was an active adventure, not a passive adventure with quotes. You see, my question for all of us and those of you who are watching on the virtual path, are you living an active adventure being led by the Holy Spirit of God? See, every now and then I got to come to tell you, your life shouldn't be characterized by church being the most exciting part of your walk. Church should not be the most exciting part about your walk. If you're waiting for Sunday to get your spiritual fix, you're missing the point of what it means to follow Jesus. If you are waiting for church to say, you know what, now I get an opportunity to serve. Now I get an opportunity to engage. If that is what characterizes your walk with God, you're missing out on what it means to live an active adventure. You see, some of us have relegated the work of God to a couple of hours where we do a little singing and hear a little speech. And instead of living a life full of active adventure, we settle for a life of bored rule keeping. Once again, I say it. Instead of living a life of active adventure, we settle for bored rule keeping. And I want you to think introspectively for a moment before I ask you to put some words in. Have you been bored in your walk with Jesus lately? Have you sat there and said, you know what, I don't really know if following Jesus is really as fun as it? Y'all know what makes following Jesus fun? Being on the edge. Talking to people you never would have talked to. If you have never gotten to a place in your walk with God where your heart is just pounding and you don't know what's going to happen, you might be living a life of bored rule keeping. And so my question for you in the mentee today is, just take a moment. Describe your walk with God in two words or less. Describe your walk with God in two words or less. Y'all ain't put none yet? Safe. Fathomless. Adventure. Stable. I like unpredictable. Adventure. Risk. Challenging. That could be a good thing. Daunting. Y'all know what I love about this? If it's daunting, if it's unpredictable, if it's crazy, if it's wild, it might be characterized as the Holy Spirit. Now, if it's cumbersome, if it's frustrating, if it's laborious, then maybe we need to rethink how we are seeing our walk with God. And so even here, think about this. If you had an angel assigned to your life, let's just say everybody had an angel. Let's just say that. What would your angel be doing? You know, because for some of us, our angel is trying to pick up a new hobby because they bored. You're like, man, what's in the paper today? Because they ain't doing nothing down there. Good grief. I guess I'll learn how to play the piano today because they ain't doing nothing that need protection. They ain't prayed in a little while, so I guess I can't answer, you know, I can't bring no prayers. Whew, man, is it lunchtime yet? Y'all clocking? Oh, y'all working. That's crazy. Well, take me a little extra break. Some of our angels would be characterized that way because we ain't been on an adventure in a long time. You know, but then there's others of us. Our angel got a dude doggone full court press on. It's like, hey, hold on, wait. Nah, microphone for real, wait. For some of us, our angel has been on go since we started following Jesus. There's some people, woo! Angel's like, man, can you stop talking to people for a minute, please? Can you please just be still? And we have to wrestle with which one are we? You know, we can get bogged down with the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things. I mean, that's in the Bible. But at some point, we have to ask ourselves, when was the last time we were about that action? You know, some of us may be like Saul. I imagine the angel assigned to Saul had it rough. The angel was like, come on, man, stop. You went from preaching in the synagogue, now you're preaching again. You got another bright idea. Okay, now we're in Damascus. Now we headed to Jerusalem. Now we headed to Caesarea. Now we headed to Tarsus. And for some of us, it's now we headed to Sandy Springs. Now we headed to Georgia Tech. Now we headed to North Clayton. Now we're in Adamsville. When will we be still? I don't think we want to be still. I don't think we want to relegate our lives to some boring rule-keeping. Brothers and sisters, as much fun as it might be to act things out or convicting it might be to come to reality, we got to remember there are people hanging in the balance. There are souls hanging in the balance of us choosing to say, I'm willing to go on an adventure powered by the Holy Spirit that says, I can do it even if I don't get it. Even if I don't know every scripture in the Bible, I can share something that Jesus loves them. Even if I don't know every passage of scripture and I don't know every historical detail and I don't understand everything about the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic and Latin Vulgate and blah, blah, blah. Jesus says, I was, insert what you were, but Jesus did, insert what Jesus did. You see, when we go on an adventure, there's something about it that says, you know, I no longer have to be the performance police. I don't have to be the salvation sergeant. I don't have to be the language lieutenant. I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission. I just want y'all to say, I'm on a mission. See, when I think about adventure, I think about the last couple of months. Good Lord. A few weeks ago, all I wanted to do was have breakfast with my man, Leslie. You know, Leslie jumped out there and said, you know what? We got a bunch of people in Sandy Springs. I'm ready to go on an adventure in Sandy Springs. And so me and him were having breakfast, and, you know, we went to First Watch. I don't know if y'all been to First Watch. I enjoy First Watch. First Watch has this thing called Million Dollar Bacon. It's like little candied bacon and pepper on it. It's delicious with avocado toast because I'm a millennial. And while we're eating breakfast, I'm looking over Leslie's shoulder because I don't like to sit with my back to the door. So I had my back to the wall, and I see this large man walking from the other side of the restaurant. And at first it's just, but then he, and I'm sitting here like, why a hand in his pocket? What is going on? And as he gets closer, his walk becomes a little more aggressive. And he walks up to me with his hand in his pocket, and he's like, whew. I'm like, can I help you? The man said, boy, I thought you was the dude I got into a shootout with a couple days ago. Bro, we ain't done with it. What's going on? Like, I mean, I ain't, you know, I'm not going to say where we could have been and that happened, but and done with it? And in that moment, my life flashed before my eyes because all I wanted was some oatmeal and million-dollar bacon. But then I had an opportunity. I had an opportunity to ask myself, do I want to invite him to church? Security? You see, very much like Saul, I had to make a choice. In the face of potential harm, am I going to trust the work of the Holy Spirit? In the face of danger, because I really was scared, am I willing to say, you know what, God, I really don't want to invite him to church. So my question for y'all is, would you have invited him to church? Nah, bro, I would have sent Leslie. Absolutely, I'm fearless. That's Misty. I know Misty at least one of these yellows. Boy, that's a little skewed, ain't it? Oh, so y'all definitely would have sent Leslie. Dang, Leslie, I'm sorry. You know, some folks got to show people to lead the way. You know, so I couldn't send Leslie and expect him to do something I wouldn't do. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes. Anyway, as we got ready to leave the restaurant, I grabbed a piece of paper, wrote down the church information, and walked up to him like, Charles, you should come to church, man. You almost killed me. And I leave, we checking out, and somebody else walked up to me. Hey, man, you know where I can get some green? What do I look like? Now, also, for those of you who are not familiar with urban colloquialisms, green is marijuana. So, why are you asking me? Do I look, okay, maybe I look like, it's the beard. I think it's the beard. Maybe I look like I sold a little weed. But I'm like, bro, I'm tired. What is going on, Holy Spirit? But the adventure didn't end there. I left. And you know how you get in your car and you go somewhere and you're like, I know my car. So I got on 285 and looked at the gas hand. It said it had about an eighth of a tank. At least that's how I saw it. And I'm driving down 285 from Dunwoody and I'm headed towards QT because I only want to go to QT. And the car, I'm pressing the gas, but the gas ain't gassing. I'm like, hey, it's 285. What's going on? My car just stopped rolling on 285. And I'm like, God, I'm done with this adventure for the day. I'm sick of this. So I pull over. There is actually not a lot of room on the left side of 285. And so I see 18 wheels. I'm frustrated. I'm wrestling. I'm aggravated. I'm hot. Police officer pulls up behind me. He tries to give me some help, but he blocks off the lane next to me. And again, I'm faced with an opportunity. Do I want to invite him to church? I'm hot. I've been almost dead once. Propositioned to buy weed. And I'm tired. And it's not even noon yet. Thank God for that police officer. Thank God for my little brother that came with some gas and helped me out. But I invited the police officer to church. And then I left and I'm like, what if Charles and police officer come on the same day? That might be an interesting Sunday. But you see, that's a day I'll never forget because it was a day that I needed Holy Spirit help. That's my second and final point today is Holy Spirit, help. Galatians 5:25 says this, since we live, there's an assumption there by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so the assumption there is we're living by the Spirit, we recognize the Spirit, we listen to the Spirit, and so while we're doing that, let's walk with the Spirit. See, I believe God's greatest desire for us is to be open to being about that action when it comes to following the Holy Spirit. See, the thing that's utterly amazing about Saul in Acts chapter 9 in this passage, he was unwilling to step back. He was unwilling to stand down and stop proclaiming the power of God through the life of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if we're to be disciples, if we're to be a people, to be a community that's able to see our little piece of the world transformed, we got to be recalibrated to get Holy Spirit help. There's no other way by which Jesus will be uplifted. There's no other way seemingly insurmountable tasks happen. There's no other way that captives are set free. There is no other way that the good news will be proclaimed to the poor. There's no other way. And so if we get stuck in the how, if we get stuck in the why, If we get stuck in the who, the what, the where, what happens? Do we get Holy Spirit help if we're stuck in doing the Holy Spirit's job? See, somewhere we got to lean into this and say, God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead us into all truth. By the power of your Holy Spirit, show us what we should do. By the power of your Holy Spirit, grant us wisdom and resources. Because just as I shared at the beginning, in 2019, we petitioned God. And God said, I hear you, and I will show you how I'm choosing to work. I hear you, but instead, I'm going to show you. You don't know what God is trying to do in each and every one of our lives. And without the help of the Holy Spirit, we're putting God in a box. Y'all, I understand. We are people who love logistics. We are people who love having the answers. We are people, but guess what? We don't know how God is working all the time. God has never taken a day off. Because the moment God decides to take a day off, you stop breathing. And so if you think about God taking a day off, you're missing it. God is not taking a day off. It's us that is taking a day off from living an active adventure. And so my question is, will we trust God again? Will we choose to live life on the edge that in a way that says, I'm about that action? So say it one more time. I'm about that action. I don't know. I don't really believe you. I feel like this part of the room is about that action, and then like the other three. So everybody say, I'm about that action. Somebody say the real Atlanta too. I'm about that action. See, because we're following a man who decided to live an active adventure. And while he was on that adventure, his angels didn't have an opportunity to yawn because they were always on call. As he leaned into the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about Jesus. We're following Jesus. As we prepare to take communion, I want us to be reminded that Jesus died, was resurrected, and ascended to heaven so that we could be reminded that the need for us is to use the Holy Spirit, lean into the Holy Spirit to be about that action. So you received a cup. The bread in that cup represents Jesus' body. It was broken, bruised, battered, pierced for you. The juice represents Jesus' blood that he bled for you. So as we take a few moments, let's reflect on who God is and why we need to lean into the Spirit to be about that action. Let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you that following you isn't this meaningless existence. We thank you that you sent Jesus to grant us life to the full. We thank you that you didn't leave us as orphans and decided to leave the Holy Spirit for those of us who believe, repent, and are baptized. God, I pray that as we go into this week that we can choose to be about that action, so that somebody somewhere will know you more deeply, more intimately, more fully, and want to see what it means to do that in community. We love you, and we pray all of this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.